corridor area. Fez.
You know, I feel welcome in a room in Narcotics Anonymous when I hear a prayer. I'm an addict. My name is Fez. See, I'm from the Dulles Corridor area, Narcotics Anonymous up in Northern Virginia. Yeah, you know, it's a privilege and an honor to be asked to be a service to Narcotics Anonymous. I got some resentments against this convention, so I was hesitant to come back here. And not just because this is the last place I used either. Ocean City, Maryland was my last use, the convention 9 years ago. You know, I took three newcomers out with me, and I had 16 months clean, and we got really fucking twisted, tore up Ocean City and Delaware, and I never saw any of those three members again. I got welcomed back immediately by Narcotics Anonymous. I got driven home. I got taken to a meeting that day. I had people bring meetings to me at my house when parole put me on an early curfew. Narcotics Anonymous showed up in my life. So I'm really, as begrudgingly as it is sometimes, I'm always very grateful to show up and be a service to Narcotics Anonymous and all its members whenever I can. My very first fifth step was a very surprising process for me. I've heard a lot of people talk about doing their fifth steps, and you know, after I left this convention, I got rid of the sponsor I had because apparently he wasn't doing things right. I figured I came out of prison clean with no recovery, and I came into Narcotics Anonymous an idiot with no recovery, not looking for any recovery, and looking for a way to figure out how Narcotics Anonymous doesn't work. So after I got rid of this sponsor while I was in the middle of a third step, I started doing my own fourth step, right? Because we got this handy-dandy flat book, and sponsors just hand that to you anyway, and you write. So I was like, fuck it, I'll just write out of this thing for a while. You know, a little while later, I picked up a sponsor, and one of the first things he told me that night was, having a sponsor is really good and all. Being sponsored by an area is a much better way for you to stay safe. And I didn't know what he meant at the time. I started finding out when I finished that four step, and I come up to him after my home group, and I'm trying to be like, hey man, you know, I finished this four step, like, what do I do now? And he's like, well, that coffee needs to get dumped out, so why don't you clean that up? And so I go and clean up the coffee area, and I put away all the cups and everything, and like, I'm looking around for him, like, you know, like a hyper squirrel, and I don't see him, and I run outside, and I'm like, dude, can I talk to you for a minute? I finished my four step, like, what do I do now? He was like, do your fist up with someone. And he turns and walks away. And I'm left standing there, like, with my hands up, just guffawing. Like, what do you mean? Like, this is supposed to be some huge event. I hear everybody talking about these, you know, big powwows with their sponsors and spending hours and all this crap. And he just says, do your fist up with someone. And he walks away. Mind you, I'm still really paranoid at the time. I'm very afraid of people. I don't want to have any trust or faith in anybody. I still don't think NA is a real thing that's going to be any of use to me. You know, because I'm still identifying out with everybody that I can really find. There's a very few people that I would start to talk to and share a little bit of information with. You know, that very surface level bullshit that you'll say to anybody, but you'll try to say it in a way that sounds deep, just so, you know, you can like have some falsehood of a connection with somebody. That's what I was given to members of Narcotics Anonymous. I can do that really good. So I devised a plan. And my plan was I was going to, like, on the sly, interview members of NA to make sure that I could share some of this shit with without really worrying about getting hemmed up by anybody, right? Because I was sure that everybody told everybody else's shit. Right, because I heard enough of it standing outside meetings, you know. Oh, you know, did you hear about Joe Blow? He's doing this, that, and the fucking third. And, oh, you know, Susie Q over there has got all this crap going on. And people talk about other people's shit like they're getting paid for it, right? And I'm terrified. I still had things in my life that I could be charged with. Like, I didn't want to put that out there. There's a bunch of talky bitches around here. So I spent a couple months like calling people up for a ride, right? Like, I'm gonna call dude, I'm gonna get a ride to and from a meeting. I'm gonna slide, try to interview him, and then like get to a meeting he's at and see if he's talking about me and shit like that, right? You know, if I talk to him on the way to the meeting and I get a whole bunch of stares during the meeting, I look like this. I get stared at. You know, then I know he's talking about me. And I spent a couple months like playing these stupid games with myself, thinking I have to be afraid of Narcotics Anonymous because I'm really ignorant about the safety and the level of comfort I can find here. And one day I'd say, screw it, you know. There was one guy who seemed absolutely batshit crazy that didn't really, as much as he cared about me, he didn't care about my bullshit. And I asked him if I could do my fifth step with him. And he said, sure. And you know, we met up in a parking lot one Sunday morning. And, I'm sorry. He says, sure, but I have to do something first. And the first thing I have to do is I have to read the fifth step out of the literature every day for a week. And so it doesn't matter what book or piece of literature, he didn't really care. As long as I read that and started trying to gain an understanding of what that fifth step might be talking about and what the actions of me doing it might be implying for me. So I did, I read it every day for a week, and I called him up and he goes, okay, read your fifth step to God. What are you talking about? So I say, okay, and I hang up the phone and I'm scratching my head because I don't believe in God. So how am I going to read it to that? And you know, I spent a few more weeks like thinking about this, this like third step process and what it really means to me and how very confused I am about it. Cause sure, I did a third step, but that doesn't mean that I figured everything out. I've done a couple third steps since. I haven't figured it out yet. But I had to come to an understanding of what it meant for me to read this to God. And really the simple act for me of reading it out loud and having these thoughts that were in my head for so long and the same thoughts that were sitting on a piece of paper in front of me for so long, just putting them in a different form, actually having them be said out loud, some of these things for the very first time in my life, me verbally acknowledging some of this stuff, I thought that might be what I needed to do. And it might be as simple as that. So I did it, and I sat there in my room, and I started reading my fourth step. And, you know, whatever I read it to doesn't really matter to me so much anymore as the fact that I simply took the instruction and the direction and I did it. So I called him up the next day. I said, all right, man, I read it every day for a week and I read it to God. Now what? And he goes, okay, we'll meet up in this parking lot, Sunday morning. And I was terrified. I was just terrified to put some of this stuff out to somebody else. And, you know, I got the benefit of, like, not just writing out all the grime, because my fifth step doesn't include just my grimy life, right? This is a, right, because you read the literature, the fourth step isn't just about the bad stuff, right? Moral means good or bad, right? So I have both spectrums, and I had to look at my assets, and I had to look at my values, and I had to look at some positive morals in my life, and search out things that I've done for people. Even in active recovery, I was able to actually do good things, right? Like, that fourth step didn't tell me I was just a monster. That fourth step told me that I was absolutely human, but I was just trapped in a disease of addiction. So I sit down and I start going through this stuff, and next thing you know, I'm getting laughed at. Like, I'm thinking I'm sharing this heartfelt shit that, like, you know, and this little gremlin asshole is laughing at me. Just like that. Good job. And I, once again, like, I'm taken aback, and I want to put up some bravado, and I want to get upset and angry, and I'm like, what the hell are you laughing at, asshole? And he goes, oh, man, I remember that kind of crap. And he starts sharing some of his life with me, and he starts identifying with me, right? This is when I started to learn identification through laughter. Right, this is when I started, not when, but this is what I could reflect on to understand how people identify with each other in Narcotics Anonymous, because I was still identifying as far away from NA as I possibly could. I was just trying to do the go through because I'm stuck on parole for years, don't want to piss dirty, and when I get done parole, I'll be damned if I'm not going to go back to selling dope and getting high, right? Because I'll have figured it out by then. So I share this. I share all this with him, and we go through it all. And, you know, he gives me a couple things he wants me to do afterwards. Just simple stuff to make sure that, I'm still busy in a process of something. Because really, like, I found that selling Narcotics Anonymous isn't about making some big breakthrough and change. Some of it's just about staying busy enough that I don't think about me all the time, right? But we get up, he gives me a hug, tells me he loves me even after I shared some of the most terrifying shit I can think of. And he gives me a few simple instructions. He goes, do your fist up with somebody else. Don't share that with anybody else. The time will come when you need to share that with somebody else. Don't just think that you did a fist up and every part of your life has to be put out there. Some of these things you don't need to share with people. And then he told me that we were going to go into area service because I'm sitting in the parking lot for our area service meeting. I did not feel this great, overwhelming sense of relief, and the weight was lifted off my shoulders. I was fucking terrified that someone now knows everything. And I'm going into a room with these clucky hens that love to talk about everybody else's shit for like 2.5 hours. And I almost threw up sitting in that room. I almost threw up down my shirt. So scared and paranoid. So fearful that somebody knows me now and can tell everybody else about me that I don't get the chance to, because it's all going to be the bad shit. It's all going to be those horrible parts of my life. There's going to be nothing good. People don't talk good things about other people. They talk shit about other people. That's what I'm used to anyway. That's what I like to do. I like to talk shit about people. Like that was a blood sport to me, right? More focus on somebody else and how dumb or useless they are, the happier I am, because then nobody knows how useless I am or how useless I feel. So I sat in that room, paranoid, looking at him. Is he talking about me? Who's he talking to? Are they looking at me when he's done talking to me? Wait. Hold on, did they glance at me? Is that a side eye? What the hell's going on here? Like I'm paranoid. I'm so fearful. I didn't want to go to another meeting that day. I didn't want to go to a meeting the next day. I didn't want to be around Narcotics Anonymous because I was so scared that somebody else was going to put me out there. And I was afraid I was going to get arrested again. You know, I was on parole from another state. You know, I didn't want to get extradited and do all my back time. I didn't want to think that, you know, half the time I don't know what I was thinking. I was just scared. You know, I thought there had to be a reason to be scared. But sometimes, I found out that it's just a feeling. And I'm allowed to feel feelings. And most of my feelings aren't justified. Because I'm an irrational thinking person. Most of my feelings that I feel that I have no explanation for are an unjustified or unrational thing. And that's okay. He never shared any of that information with anybody else, as far as I know. Nobody's come up to me and you know, I've been clean 9 years since. Nobody has come up to me and said that, you know, this guy told them about my fist up and these things on him. He allowed me to have that time, and he allowed me to have that process, and I found somebody else. Oh, you know what? I went back, and I told my sponsor I did my fist up with somebody. I was like, why couldn't I just do my fist up with you, man? Like, why did I have to go find somebody else? And he goes, well, you could have. All you had to do was ask. I just said find someone to do your fist up with. You could have asked me. I was like, can I do my fist up with you? He's like, sure. I was like, shit, like all this time I spent like investigating. Like, I am the worst detective ever. The answer was standing in front of me, and I gave him enough time to turn and walk away without asking him. Fuck. So I did my fist up with him too. And I had already built a little bit of more of a relationship with him than I had this other guy. So I was a little more comfortable sharing the rest of my fist up with him. And as we talked, like I told you earlier, one of the first things he said to me is that having a sponsor is great, but being sponsored by an area is even better. He told me to between my sponsor and the first person I did my fist up with, what they told me was that if it affects my life, if it affects the way I think, if it affects my mood, it affects my recovery. Just because I don't feel like getting high right now doesn't mean I'm not like on my way to using again or relapsing again. And the more that I share with other people in Narcotics Anonymous, the more I share these feelings that I have with people in Narcotics Anonymous, the more opportunity I have to be safe for myself. Yesterday morning, I almost relapsed. My wife's been relapsing for a while now at the house, and I found one of my favorite things in the house that yesterday morning, and it looked delicious. I tell you what, a little bit of clean time doesn't mean that I'm exempt from a desire to use. And I had the opportunity there, and not necessarily the desire, but that opportunity gave me a desire. And I walked out of the house, and I did the easiest thing that I hear the biggest excuses about. I picked, it's over there on the table. I picked up my phone. I'm holding an invisible phone if you're listening to this. I picked up my phone that did not weigh 1,000 pounds, and I started calling people. I called a lot of people, and I told them that this is what's going on, and I'm scared. I'm afraid. Some of them I talked about the desire to use. Some of them I just told them what's going on, and I need help, and I need to know what to do. You know, I tried to keep the story really short because the story doesn't really mean a whole hell of a lot. The story is a bunch of fluffy bullshit to help me justify what I want to do. Right, because I'm resentful and I'm angry. I want to be spiteful and mean. I want to be condescending and tear somebody apart and let them know what the fuck they're doing wrong, because I'm better than you. I want to justify my actions with the story. So I tried to tell these people what was going on as concisely as I could. Right? Because when I looked at some of the most useful results of my fifth step weren't out of the elaborate stories I put down, right? But they were out of the little sections where, like, I can only part of my fifth step that I read was part of a third step I did with my first sponsor, who, you know, he stayed clean as far as I know, and I didn't. He successfully sponsored me, but he had me in these little small boxes. I had a little bit of information to write about other people and me and the way I feel about them, right? Like, I had to learn how to break things down to the exact nature of what they were, right? And that's what I like to, that's when I learned how to take big stories and make them really useful, right? Because you don't want to sit here for 40 minutes, listen to me bitch about one situation that really turns into, like, I didn't like the way I felt and I reacted. What should I do now? Like, that's real easy, and I can manage with that and deal with that. So I gave people some information what was going on, and I asked for help, real simply, right? I shared with them the exact nature of what was going on with me. I shared my inventory with them at that time, and I asked for help, because what I got out of the fifth step was that other people are here to help me. No matter what I think about them, no matter the differences that the outsides have, right? Because when I walked into the area that I'm from now, I thought I was very different from everybody. I didn't think you people knew how to use. I didn't think they knew how to get high. Everybody looked really clean and happy, right? Smiles on faces, ties, nice cars in the parking lot. Like, I got no shoes, scraggly, no sleeves on my t-shirt. And, you know, like, when did you ever live under a fucking bridge? When did you live in a fridge box? You know, my last homeless, I was sitting in Philly eating cold baked beans out of a can with a comb. That's where I was, my last homeless. And I put myself there on purpose because I wanted to run away from everybody. And where was that here, right? I'm using every exterior thing from them to do that anti-mirror, to reflect against, like, all my insides. So I didn't think anybody could identify. And when I started sharing with people out of that fifth step, I learned that I could come in and share my vulnerabilities. And just because I got a little vulnerable in a room or with an individual addict, it's still a learning process for me to understand that that is not a weakness. That sharing my vulnerabilities with other people allows that to become a strength for me, that it allows it to not hurt me as much anymore. Right? That old saying that our secrets keep us sick. Right? If I kept my feelings about yesterday morning a secret, I was gonna use. I would have gotten high. The opportunity was there and the desire was growing. I would have used. If I didn't tell somebody about that secret at home, nobody would have been able to show up and help her. Because I can't do it. It's not my job. My job is to be her partner, not her sponsor, not her fucking network, not her fucking higher power. None of that shit. My job is to be her partner, and that's it. So I allowed other people to show up for her, and somebody ended up coming to my house and putting her in her back pocket and helping to keep my house safe for me and for her when I get home later. Narcotics Anonymous yet again showed up because I did the simplest thing possible and I bitched about my day. Like, who knew? You know? Throw a little bit of bullshit out there and people will show up. I forget the show up that Narcotics Anonymous has. You know, I got an opportunity to stay in Narcotics Anonymous from sharing a little bit of surface bullshit and a lot of my surly, angry attitude very early on. And people had some hope, and people showed up and delivered a message to me. You know, these little things give me that desire to be able to show up. You know, that little bit of information that you give to somebody in a conversation, to me, is a little bit of that fist up, right? Because there's that magic of expressing yourself, of putting yourself out there, you know, in front of your higher power, to another human being and to yourself, right? That full acknowledgement and saying these things out loud, right? That's a little bit of a fist up that I get the opportunity to have people share with me, and I get to do the same. And there's a lot of healing that comes from that, because that's when I get the opportunity to grow. Because I didn't know that putting these things out there was going to do anything for me. You know, like I said, I was just scared. I just wanted to vomit down my shirt. I just wanted to run away. Someone knew. You know, I didn't realize that I would just continue on my life doing that same thing over and over again in meetings, sharing what's going on with me, sharing what I've done, identifying with somebody else. That newcomer who just came in, I can identify with their bullshit, even though I don't care about what they used or how much worse off their life is because, you know, whatever. You know, like, I hear so many people complain, I'm a felon, I can't get a job. I'm like, dude, Home Depot turns them all down. Stop applying to Home Depot. I came into Virginia fresh off parole. I got a job laboring somewhere. I didn't care. It was a job, and I got it. And I turned it into a good job, and I got a different job somewhere else and another job. Like, my felony has not stopped me from having employment. You know, move your ass. You know? The opportunities that I have given, that I've been given from Narcotics Anonymous, have allowed me to feel better about me even in the worst of times. Even when I feel like some people's lives are hopeless, I still have hope, right? And that's the biggest thing that I get. No matter what step I'm working on, it's one of my favorite spiritual principles is hope, right? Because without hope, I wouldn't have had a chance. If nobody had a little bit of hope in me or given me a little bit of their hope to share with somebody else, that things can change, right? Because life has not gotten any better since I have been a member of Narcotics Anonymous. Life has not gotten any better, no matter how long I have been clean. But I have gotten better at life by consistently showing up, putting one foot in front of the other, and allowing myself to share with others the same way other people shared with me. So if you're afraid of the fifth step, get your ass off your shoulders. Because sitting around waiting for something to change and get a little bit better at NA is not going to happen. It's as good as it gets right now. Thanks for letting me be here. Thanks for letting me show up with 2 minutes notice. I'll throw that part in at the end. Thanks for letting me share.